Welcome to Synthaholics, your weekly shot of science fiction. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
Aaron O'Brien, and Holly's still hanging out with the Red Angels, apparently.
Or Thanos.
Or Thanos. Which copy of Thanos and her sisters is she hanging out with? Is she the third Thanos sister?
At the third Thanos sister.
And we're not talking about a Nebula's doppelganger.
No. Yeah, so we're going to switch it up. We're going to leave Star Trek, and we're going to get into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
And there is a random obligatory Star Trek reference in this movie.
Yeah.
Split second, because they lump it in with a lot of other things.
Yes, of course. We are going to talk about Avengers Endgame. We're not going to get into spoilers from the beginning here. So if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame, you can listen to probably the first 10, 15 minutes, and we'll let you know where we're going to get into spoilers. But
it may not even be that long.
Yeah, well, let's try to keep it light. So as of recording, today is April 28th, 2019, and box office so far, Dave, it's made $1.2 billion.
So it's made what Infinity War and this movie cost in a weekend.
Yes, actually, it's made. So the budget for this movie is $356 million, should
really?
I say.
I thought they said they spent $1 billion on both Infinity Wars and this one combined.
Because they recorded, they filmed them back to back, but so it technically is made already within technically 4 days, maybe 3 days, 3.5 days. It's made almost three times its money to make just this movie alone. So that's impressive.
$1 billion in a weekend. That is insane. It's printing money, which means they'll never stop making these until they stop printing money, I suppose.
Or they just start making worse and worse movies. So this is the end of phase three of this, Marvel Cinematic Universe. And, we get to see, all the characters basically that we've got to know and love throughout this, decade, since it started back with Iron Man, which I believe was at 2008 or 2007.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, so we've got so many characters, and we've got so many storylines that have started, and it all comes down to, if I'm assuming you've seen the Avengers Infinity War, then you know that Thanos snapped half of the population of not just Earth, but the whole universe
out of existence. They all just missed it away into ash.
It is directed by the two Russo brothers, Anthony Russo and Joe Russo. Obviously, produced by Kevin Feige. And Dave, I don't know if you know this, but one of the screenplays writers is a guy from Buffalo, Christopher Marcus.
I did not know that.
And the other guy is Stephen McFeely. And yeah, so that's cool. And so that was nice. We got a little bit of that, but without getting into spoilers, Dave, we got to see this movie. What were some of the things you liked about this movie, and what were some of the things you didn't like, without telling anybody what happens?
I mean, the action's great. As far as an action movie, you could see, between the both movies, you could see where that $1 billion went. It was definitely a visually stunning feat as far as, movies go. But I mean, I feel like that's like just a cop out saying, because I mean, it's 2019 and it's a Disney movie. So I mean,
it better be fucking good.
Yeah. It's going to be good looking. So I mean, as a source for good things. It was good. I did like that they mentioned quantum entanglement somewhere in the movie, which was kind of great. I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting that they even mentioned that in the movie, because most people probably don't even know what that is. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, that's props to them for mentioning that. I understand. And I think they actually used quantum entanglement kind of right.
Yeah, sort of.
I mean, when they
mentioned, it got fuzzy, and I don't know if any of that stuff could actually happen, but
well, I mean, quantum entanglement, I think, is something that's possible, and the way they mention it is kind of how it's been described from how I've read it. So, I mean, it's,
I know, I just meant I don't know if you could act on what they did with it.
Oh no, I'm sure they probably couldn't, because it's not, they didn't use it perfectly, but it was like it was an interesting way of going about what they said they did. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. They're kind of doing it right. Not exactly, but I mean, they're in the ballpark, I assume, from the little I know about how quantum entanglement works. So I'm like, oh, that's right. Interesting. Because I feel like I haven't seen a movie where that's actually come up or been mentioned and it'd be anywhere near correct. So
yeah, right.
I'm not
yeah.
saying it's perfect, but it's all right. And then things I didn't like. I don't know.
Without getting into spoilers.
Without getting into spoilers. I mean, honestly, I feel like the Avengers movies are like the Star Trek movies, but in reverse. The odd ones are the not so good ones. Or no, the odd ones are the great ones, and then the even ones are the not so great ones, which is the opposite for Star Trek. Where the even ones of Star Trek movies are great and the odd ones are usually not as great. That's my takeaway on the Avengers films. Because I loved the first one and I loved Infinity War. But I didn't care much for Age of Ultron, and this one left me feel underwhelming, especially after so how Infinity War was so good. I was underwhelmed personally by this one. How about you, Aaron?
So first of all, this movie was wonderful for me because I get to see where all these characters land after such a devastating thing that Thanos did, and I gotta say, for more than one time during this movie, I got a little teary-eyed at certain moments, where you see the characters are dealing with the loss of people that was taken from them by Thanos snapping his fingers with that Infinity Gauntlet. I thought that was poignant and nice for once that we, for an action movie, we get some emotional. Is more emotional storytelling. The battling and everything, there's some things that you just do not expect is going to happen. And all of a sudden you're just kind of like, what the hell? So there's some big, surprise moments here and there, which I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Or that's crazy. I can't believe they did that. So I think if you haven't seen Avengers Endgame yet, you probably should go see it because, I really think, and I've heard other people say this, I think this is like one of those moments. I think Avengers Infinity War and Avengers Endgame are like maybe the two greatest superhero movies put together. I hedge to say that completely because I'm a big fan of the original motion picture of Superman. I still think that holds up, even though some of the effects have turned a little cheesy over the years, but the story's all there. Obviously, the Batman movie, Dark Knight, is a wonderful movie. There's
Dark,
no way.
Dark Knight's great, yeah.
Yeah, no way you can get away from that. Yeah, I mean, even the first Michael Keaton movie is it's a beautiful movie as well.
It's very well done.
It doesn't maybe hold up as well over time, you know, because that was like early or late 80s.
I mean, it's definitely dated.
It's dated, but, you know.
It's still a good movie.
And, you know, it's a beautiful shot movie, and there's a lot to be said about that movie. I mean, there's a lot of good superhero movies out there.
Shazam was really good. I was surprised that DC.
I haven't seen Shazam yet.
I mean, Shazam was actually really good. It's probably,
I am excited to see Shazam, so I'll probably see that in the next maybe week or two. I'm not sure when.
Probably one of my favorite solo superhero movies in like a while.
Yeah.
Like maybe since The Dark Knight.
Really? Okay, cool.
It was really good. I wasn't expecting it to be, and so maybe that's because, I mean, DC's track record has been absolutely awful lately.
Right.
And Wonder Woman was really good.
Wonder Woman was good.
But I mean, like, other than Wonder Woman, like, DC's movies have been really, really abysmal lately. So I just did not go into Shazam with any high hopes. And I also knew nothing about Shazam as a character. I never followed him. I knew almost nothing about his powers. The only thing I knew about Shazam was the trailer. And that's it. And so going into it completely blind with no preconceptions, maybe that made me love the movie more because I had no expectations on what it was supposed to be.
See, that's a movie you didn't get into spoilers, which you always do, and maybe this is kind of cool because you're pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I mean,
you came in with no expectations.
I didn't get into spoilers for this movie either.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, which is good because I think it would have really ruined it if you found out.
I don't know. I think I might have liked it better if I found out.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
That's how it was with Star Trek Into the Darkness, because, I mean, you hated that movie, but, I mean, I knew exactly what was going to happen every step of the way, so I could just enjoy it for what it was.
Well, Into Darkness is a different story. I mean, that's...
Well, I know.
There's things I loved about Into Darkness, and there's things I thought was kind of silly, so... Yeah,
I know, but, I mean, you get angry about that movie often enough, so it's just like, whereas you went in completely unspoiled and I went in spoiled, our reactions were completely different. I might be angry as you if I didn't spoil the movie for myself, you know what I mean?
I'm still angry about Into Darkness.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying you're not, but that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe I would be that angry about Into Darkness had I... Because, I mean, usually I usually like to spoil things because, like, see, Shazam, I didn't care, so I didn't spoil anything. Because, I mean, I didn't care one way or the other. But usually the more I care about it, the more I want to be spoiled. But I tried to be good and not spoil myself on this one. But, I mean, I had a pretty good idea what was going to happen just from extrapolating from what happened in the last film and the trailer. So, I mean, not much really surprised me in this film.
What? There's nothing? I mean, I understand, like, the ending of it. Some of the things were like, you kind of knew what was going to happen, certain things, but...
I mean, there's a couple little surprises, and I guess I'll mention them when we get to them, but, I mean, most of them, they just, like, the surprises to me weren't, like, good surprises. They were just kind of dumb. Mm-hmm. I was like, huh.
Huh.
Yeah, the surprises were kind of not my favorite part of the movie. Honestly, Thor had the best character moments for me in this film.
Oh, Thor was great. Yeah.
Thor was great, even though this was like more Captain America's movie.
It was a little bit more his movie. He had Infinity War.
Captain America was
a little light.
He was extremely light in Infinity War, which is fine with me because Cap's never been that great a character. I mean,
I gotta disagree with you. I used to read Captain America all the time.
This is completely from the movie standpoint. The first Captain America movie wasn't great. I didn't like it that much. And then Captain America 2 and 3 were both Avengers light movies. So I mean, he didn't even really get the star in two of his own films because
I don't know.
Films.
I got to push back. I think Winter Soldier was a pretty damn fun movie to see.
Winter Soldier was great.
But yeah,
I mean, it focused so much on Bucky. It wasn't really a Captain America movie. It's kind of like how Discovery.
Yeah, but he's the Winter Soldier. Yes, that's who he is.
Yeah.
Civil War? I thought was a little bit like eh. You know,
Civil War was great. I love Civil War. But but the thing is, Captain America never stood on his own except for in the first movie. And the first movie was my least favorite of the Captain Americas. Like, Captain America 1 is down at the bottom with, like, Thor 1 and Iron Man 2 and 3.
Yeah. What about Thor 2?
Oh, yeah, and Thor 2.
What about the Hulk?
Oh, is that even technically part of this?
Yeah, well, you're thinking Ang Lee's Hulk, which we mentioned last episode. But no,
Edward Norton's movie. Because he's Edward Norton, I kind of don't associate that with the cinematic universe. Because I was so mad they replaced Edward Norton with Mark Ruffalo. Because I really wanted to see Edward Norton and Robert Downey Jr. together on screen. That was so fucking exciting to me because I love Edward Norton, and like because Edward Norton does the narcissist thing because he is one in real life.
I don't know.
I would just love to see
really, really redeem that role and made Bruce Banner very much more lovable.
He did, but he made him lovable. But I wanted to see. I mean, I didn't care about the character. I just wanted to see Edward Norton and Robert Downey Jr. together with their narcissistic tendencies. I think that would have been fantastic, just on screen to see. I mean, I didn't know anything about – I'd never seen Mark Ruffalo in anything except for the Avengers movies.
Oh,
Really? The Marvel movie. Okay. So I didn't know him from anyone, so I was not excited to see him. I was super excited for Ed Norton because I love Fight Club's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Well, Ruffalo is a very good actor, and he's been in a lot of great movies
I'm not saying he's a bad actor. I was just excited to see Norton. And that disappointed me that he was replaced. So anyone they would have replaced Norton with is just was second class in my book. I mean, Mark Ruffalo's grown on me. I like him. I like the Hulk. I was just sad.
He's fun in this episode too. Let's get into full spoilers, huh? Should we get into it?
Let's do it. It's hard holding back.
I know it is hard holding back. We're like thinking about baseball while having sex, you know. Let's just say this.
I don't do that.
Well, I mean, hey, if you're having sex, what's one way that's not going to make you?
Oh, maybe I should start. Oh, I don't have that problem usually.
What? All right, whatever.
My problem is I usually don't.
No, we don't have to know, Dave. We don't have to know. All right.
I usually have the opposite problem.
All right. So if you have not seen Avengers Endgame, please don't listen any further unless you really don't care.
Unless you really want to know how David
David ejaculates. But we are going to get in full spoilers. We're going to kind of run down the movie. Not going to get too crazy with it, but we're just kind of give like an idea of what's happening. So, and we're going to read, you know, kind of basically how we do like a typical Star Trek episode. So if you haven't, please turn it off now. Okay, so here we are. When the movie starts up, we get Hawkeye, Clint, and he's teaching his daughter how to shoot.
Be Katniss Everdeen.
Shoot the bow and arrow, and they're having a family picnic. When all of a sudden, when Thanos snaps his fingers, he turned around. They are all gone, Dave. And I have to say, as a family man myself, this is terrifying.
Sure, it's terrifying, and like your family's just gone, and you're like in the middle of this like woods area.
You're having fun. You're having a great time with your kids.
Getting ready to have a hot dog with mayonnaise on it.
Yeah, but it is terrifying. So you get kind of like that idea what's going on there behind the people's emotion and what's the effect, the fallout of Thanos's action.
Yeah, in the movie theater, there's a couple in the movie theater moments that I want to address as they come up. This one, people are like, "Oh my god, I can't believe this is happening." I'm like, "Why? Why can you not believe this is happening?" It's just like. I mean, like
you knew this was going to happen.
This is exactly, and I knew this was going to happen. I joked about it with my coworker that's
hilarious.
Because they show the scene of them like firing the bows and arrows. I'm like, when we saw that, Brian and I were like, he's going to turn around and he's going to get his family's going to get snapped. Yeah. I mean, like, it just
I mean, you knew. I mean, once I saw it, I knew what was happening, but it's still terrifying.
In the trailer, I knew it was going to happen. You know,
as a father, as a husband, it's terrifying.
Sure. On the conceptual level, it's terrifying. As an audience member, how do you not know that's going to happen? People just got so upset that I'm like, really?
Well, some people don't follow this stuff like we do or other geeks.
Did they watch the last movie? It's just
maybe not. And maybe they paid half attention. And from there, we jump over to Tony Stark and Nebula are on. I believe it's the.
They play football for 30 minutes of the film. So 30 minutes of the 3.5 hour runtime is them playing football.
It's literally probably like 30 seconds at most.
It felt longer.
Time is relative, I suppose.
Especially in this movie.
Yes, they are on the Guardians of the Galaxy ship, and they're out in space. Unfortunately,
it's been Millennium Falconed.
Yeah, the ship is kind of dying out in space. There was some damage they took on during the battle with Thanos, and they're running out of oxygen. They can't go anywhere, and he records his last message to Pepper Potts. Saying basically he's going to miss her and he loves her kind of thing.
I don't even know if you're still alive.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a scary thing. And at some point Nebula decides to strap him into the chair for the pilot seat.
Strap on.
I don't know why she did that. And then we see Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers show up and she's going to bring the ship back home.
Yeah. She just brings the ship with her. Carries it.
And
did you see Captain Marvel?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you saw that because the thing I guess you hadn't seen at the time, but if you hadn't seen Captain Marvel, she meets the rest of the Avengers in her post credit scene. So she, assuming she tells the Avengers tell her that Tony's out in space somewhere, and she finds him that way.
Yeah, I mean, she's a little firecracker that one, and she knows what to do. I want to talk about her a little bit a little later, but
yeah, me too.
Interesting, because she's interesting character,
extremely underutilized in this film.
Yes, I'm gonna go away for a while.
I'm gonna go masturbate with a couple planets. It'll be fine.
She literally uses a planet to masturbate with.
I mean, she's that powerful. She needs something to rev her up.
She. All right, we're getting in trouble now. Careful, Dave. All right, so we're gonna jump there. We go to the Avengers
compound. She don't need no man.
We don't need no man. We got a planet, and the moons. The
it's
Avengers
like beads
compound.
At that point.
Oh Jesus. And we get Captain Marvel brings the ship back, and obviously. There's this whole blow up with Tony and Captain America, Steve Rogers, about.
It was so weird.
Basically, he feels like he dropped the ball. Like, he's like, where was your master plan? I thought you were, like, such a great leader. How'd you fuck things up? And, like, obviously, he's kind of out of it. Like, he's upset.
It was weird. So it looked like Tony was dying of cancer in this scene. I was like, what's going on?
Well, you know, he was up in space a while. He's been beat up and. There's things going on. So
it was just seemed strange. Like, he was like in a wheelchair. He seemed like super, like they CGI'd him to make him look like super scrawny or scrawnier than normal or whatever. He looked like super frail.
He did look very frail. Yeah.
It was weird. So it was just, I'm not sure what they were doing in that scene. It just stretched
and obviously we still get the beef between Steve Rogers and Tony Stark. Although they fight well with each other, they don't, like, on a personal level, they don't see eye to eye on a lot. So,
but this time Steve Rogers didn't rip a log in front of Tony Stark's face.
True. That's a good point. So at this point, we see what's her name? Black Widow, and she is talking to all her, all the different, I guess, Avengers, but heroes. And we basically get.
Because it goes 5 years later.
Yeah, it goes 5 years later. And they're just doing cleanups. We get little hints. I think somebody mentioned something about the ocean. There was like a big explosion in the ocean or something like that. And I think that's a message for. We might get a Namor movie in the future. The Submariner. So we might get sort of an Aquaman version of the.
Because they said there's the lady from Wakanda is like, it's in the water. Yeah. We just leave it alone.
Right. And
they're going to throw up all the garbage since half the population's gone. They'll just throw up all the garbage under the coastline. Oh, wait.
Yes, right.
Wrong movie.
Yes, wrong movie. But it could be like that. Captain America comes back during that point, and they're kind of like, we should move on. And actually, I should mention, we get a scene with like Captain America with like a survivors group. And in that scene, we have Jim Starlin, who is the creator of Thanos, the Infinity Gauntlet, and Gamora, and a whole bunch of other characters in the Marvel Universe. He's in there briefly. So that was kind of cool. I'm a big fan of him. I grew up being one of my heroes. So
that's awesome. And then in that scene, Steve Rogers mentions how he lost the love of his life by getting frozen. And like, oh shucks, you got to move on. But he doesn't,
which we'll find out more later.
And it doesn't even make any sense.
Well, I don't know.
I'll get into it.
Let's get to it when we get to it. So at this point, we get to a point where the characters are trying to still figure out how they can undo what Thanos did. So they're still living with this 5 years later. And this is where we get Ant-Man comes out. So if you saw Ant-Man and the Wasp movie, you know that they shrunk down the quantum realm. But something happened at the very end where they never were able to pop back out of the quantum realm from there. And we get
a rat
junkyard, but it's like
a reclamation unit.
yeah, like a storage place or something like that, and a rat crawls over some instruments in this van, and the van it turns the controls on, and it's actually the machine to control the quantum shrinking.
Quantum tunnel.
Yes, and Ant-Man pops out. He is brought back to the world of what happened after Thanos, and he's like, what the hell happened? And this is, a lot of people complain about the scene, actually, that this is a little drawn out. I think it kind of helps tell the story of what was going on at this point. I don't have a problem with it necessarily. I thought it was like, you're trying to get the gravity of what Thanos did. Like, okay, you lost half the population. Well, could you imagine if you lost half the people you knew and how you'd feel about it? So he's walking through, and he goes back home, and his daughter, it's 5 years later, so his daughter's like a teenager now.
I thought she looked like she was in her 20s. I'm like, wasn't she like 12 last time we saw her?
I think she was younger than that. She seemed like she was 10-ish or so. I'll tell you what. I mean, Dave, these kids grow fast.
And, is she Klingon or something?
Yeah, no, not that fast. And that was another moment where I got teary-eyed. You know, like, oh my God, could you imagine if you didn't see your kid grow up and all of a sudden, like 5 years later, you see them and they're all like, you know, sprouted.
Yeah, adult eyes.
Oh, it's so rough.
And then like you haven't aged at all, but it's kind of a bonus because you get to live longer and see your kid grow up older.
Paul Rudd never grows anyway. He grows old anyways.
No, he doesn't. He looks younger now than he did in the original Wet Hot American Summer movie from like 20 years ago.
He literally just looks amazing. I don't know what the fucking's with that guy's genes, but holy shit.
He and Keanu Reeves, they're both vampires, I swear.
Yeah, for sure.
Didn't he just turn 50?
Wait, who turned 50?
Didn't Paul Rudd just turn 50?
I don't know. I don't know, but that would be crazy if he did. With him coming back, he then decides he's going to go to the Avengers compound, and he comes up with this idea of a time heist. And he's like, look, when I'm in the quantum realm, it felt like 5 hours, but it was 5 years. So with that being said, maybe we can rearrange what's going on. And this is where we get all the jokes about time travel.
And yeah, they mention all the different ways time travel has been used, and they said Star Trek's one.
Yeah, and they talk about like Back to the Future. Yeah, yeah, all that stuff. Quantum Leap.
Although that's technically a Star Trek reference because it's got Bacula.
Yeah, you get a little Star Trek reference there. And they go to Tony Stark, and Stark's really not interested. When we see Tony Stark, he's like, he's got a little girl, 5 years old, and he's living out on the lake, out in the woods, and he's happy.
Paul Rudd is 50 years old.
Wow. Oh, shit. Man, that guy looks fucking great. Whatever he's doing it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tony Stark is very happy where he's at. You know, he's got a little girl, and he doesn't want to.
He's married to Pepper Potts finally after 20 movies.
Yeah, he's hung up the helmet. He doesn't want to do that anymore. Apparently,
although his daughter likes playing with his helmet.
Sure, why not? That sounded gross, Dave.
if you say it the way Dark Helmet means it, that's gross. But she was literally wearing one of his helmets in her little tent.
Tent, yeah. So he says, no way, I ain't going to do it. I'm happy where I'm at. He says, you can stay for dinner, but you can't talk shop. But they all say, fuck off, and they leave. And then they go to Hulk, Bruce Banner.
And Hulk, he's busy taking selfies with children.
So an interesting turn of events for Bruce Banner Hulk. He has learned to make Professor Hulk. So he has pushed the two Bruce Banner persona and the Hulk persona into one. And he is in control of that now. So he is now like an in-between. He's not a full rage Hulk, but he's not like the super brilliant Bruce Banner from before. So he's a little bit in between. He's still smart, smarter than your average Hulk, but...
Well, that doesn't take very much.
Yes, but so that's what we get. And, you know, he's like, that's really not my field. I don't really know much about it, but, you know, I'll take a crack at it. Later on, we see that Tony Stark decides that he's going to look into he starts playing around with that like a computer program trying to simulate going back in time. and stealing the time infinity stones beforehand, the time heist, as Ant-Man called it. And he finds out this is a possibility that could happen with his, computer models of prediction.
Mobius strips.
Yes, Mobius strips. And he goes to Pepper Potts and he's like, I figured out time travel. I could do it. I could change everything. Or I could just, put it in a box and forget about it.
Sink it to the bottom of the lake.
And she goes, yeah, you could, but would you actually be able to live with yourself? And he's like, no. So Tony Stark goes back to the Avengers compound and he's like, yep, I'm going to do this. And Captain America, here's your shield back, put together.
Oh, do we talk about the part where Thanos got killed?
I'm sorry, say again?
Before the 5 years jump? I don't think we talked about them. They all went to... So before the 5 year jump, they registered a new explosion that was like the snappening. And
should have jumped into... I'm sorry. I totally jumped over that. I'm sorry. Yeah, so when he did the snappening, as Dave said, and eliminated 50% of the population of the universe, there was like a register, energy signal.
Burst. Yeah.
But then they found another one on another planet, and Nebula says, yes, that's where my dad said he was going to retire. He's going to put a farm there. And... we need to go get it. Like, go get those stones. So they rush to take him down, obviously.
And they take him down in about 5 seconds, and he says, I use the Infinity Gauntlet stones to destroy the stones.
So, he said they're too much of a temptation. Had to get rid of them. And during that time, Nebula says, my father is many things, but he's not a liar. He wouldn't lie about that. And then Thor just... decapitates him.
Like Thor do. I went for the head. He's got a very big guilt complex because of how he didn't kill Thanos before the snapping happened.
Right, exactly. Thanos is dead. So we're like, whoa, holy shit. That's another thing, is that was probably within the first 15 minutes of the film. You get Thanos dead, you're like, well, where do we go from here? And there's no Infinity Stones. How do we get back?
Yeah, that was one thing that kind of surprised me. I was like, huh, they just killed him, and the movie's over now. See you later, guys.
I know, you're like, what? So that was kind of like the precursor. I'm sorry, I skipped over that real quick.
I don't think we covered that. I was like, wait a second.
So where do we leave off? Tony Stark said that he would jump in and help out in this going back in time for the time heist. And from there, we decide they do some experiments with... before Tony Stark jumps in, we get Hulk trying to experiment with Ant-Man, which is pretty funny.
Into a baby, and yeah.
And his suit's full of pee, and he goes, I'm not sure if that was from the old man or the baby or even me. So, Paul Rudd's fucking amazing.
Yeah,
so,
he's really good.
He's a great character. The only thing I regret about Paul Rudd and his character, Scott Lang, Hank Pym is like the super, he always was in the comics. So he was always like a guy who could work with Stark and who could work with like all the super smart people. Like, Scott Lang's completely useless for all this shit. So
He just throws out the basic idea. It's like, yeah, can we do this?
Yeah. So, and then we decide after that, when Tony Stark comes, he says, I got this kind of like homing beacon, kind of like, I don't know what you want to call it, a wristwatch or something that you put on.
He said it was like a time GPS.
And basically, so you don't like jump like your age all over the place, and you know exactly where you land and when you're going to come back out. So. It's time travel stuff, as we talked last episode. It's all over the place, so hard to really figure that shit out. And then we go into they start deciding to grab all the rest of the heroes that have the Avengers sort of disbanded.
Captain Marvel said she's going to be gone for a while. You won't see me for a bit.
Yeah, we did get Captain Marvel in the beginning, but she disappeared. And then we're going to – obviously, we got Hulk back with as we said before, we got Iron Man back. And so they got to get Thor back.
Yeah, they got to get Thor back, and they got to get Hawkeye back.
So we get Thor, and Thor is living in New Asgard. And he has kind of let himself go a bit. And
he's been busy playing Fortnite and drinking beer.
Drinking beer and playing Fortnite and with his buddies Korg and Meek or something, Mech.
Great
scene. And we basically get them saying like Rocket Raccoon and stuff like that. We're like, you gotta come back, man. And he's like, why? I'm not going back.
I killed Thanos. So I'm good.
He's obviously got a lot of problems of what happened. He feels like he's a failure for everything that went down. Because he could have taken Thanos out with a headshot, if you think about it.
He could have.
In Infinity Wars. But, obviously he thought that, a chest shot was just good enough. But so he's beating himself up. But they talk him into it, saying that they got this. They're going to get these Infinity Stones. So the plan is to go back in time, grab the Infinity Stones before Thanos did, and then after we use them to reverse everything, reverse and then put back the Infinity Stones. So that's the basic plan behind everything. Then, after we get Thor on board, Black Widow goes to get Hawkeye, and Hawkeye has gone crazy on all... We get... Like he went nuts before we heard something before, like he killed some Mexican cartel drug runners. But then we see him in Japan killing up the Yakuza. And he's just making mincemeat of them. And then we get actually a touching scene between the two that he's like, don't give me hope. Please don't give me hope. So he's
hope right here.
I got the hope right here, boy.
With legs wide open.
So.
Come get your hope, boy.
So then we get a discussion about, after we get everyone back together at the Avenger compound, who are the people to best grab these stones, and where are the places are most likely to go? So.
And they realize three stones are in New York at the same time.
Yeah, during when the Chikari are attacking in the first Avengers movie, there are three stones right there. You can just go there and grab them all. And so
Gotta catch them all.
The only issue is that the way they're going back in time is going through the quantum realm. And because they're doing that, they need these things called Pym particles by the original Ant-Man, Hank Pym. And they only have so many. And so if they use these... Unfortunately, they only have so many trips they can take. So this is the issue that they have right now. They build a whole machine to go back in time to get this all figured out with Bruce Banner and Tony Stark. So they get this all figured out how to do it, but they only have a couple trips. So
they each have a to and from trip, and then two to test. And Ant-Man wastes one.
Yeah, he made a mistake. Yeah, at one point, yeah.
Which is weird because they never mention how many Pym particles you need to shrink and stuff like that, in any of the other movies. And now all of a sudden, it's a valued commodity.
Well, I always figured that he could use them, but I figured that this going down to the quantum realm took a lot. But who the hell knows? So, like you said, the Battle of New York with the Chikari in the first Avengers movies was one. Also, they have to go to the Power Stone and the Soul Stone and the Reality Stone, which are all different points where they're going to do that. So, and when they go to New York, Bruce Banner goes meets with the Ancient One, who he expected to see Doctor Strange, but obviously Doctor Strange is not Doctor Strange yet. And we have a great scene where she knocks him out of his body, and he's in astral form.
He's in the astral plane, just ghosting her. It's like, please, I need to have it. I need to have it. I need to have it. Made me a ghost. Exactly. I'm never going to leave you alone.
So she has to. He convinces her, or it, or whatever its sex is supposed to be. I mean, the Ancient One in the comics was an old Asian guy. So when it's
she might be an old Asian guy for all we know.
Yeah, I guess.
Maybe he transitioned.
Maybe he did.
And did and decided to become white instead of Asian.
Yeah.
All sorts of transitioning. Plastic surgery does wonderful things.
So many transitioning. But anyways, so he convinces the Ancient One to let her have the Time Stone, which is in the Eye of Agamotto, and just gives that to her, gives that to Banner. The other thing was the Tesseract and also the Wand, which is the Time Stone. I'm sorry, not the Time Stone. Woo! So many stones. The Mind Stone.
Mind Stone.
Yes. So we kind of get the scene right after they beat Loki in the first Avengers movie. And we get a scene where they're trying to heist. And we have – it's pretty cool, actually, because, like, Captain America fights Captain America. And then
– we get to see Loki even though he's dead.
Loki's dead. And Loki, at this point, takes off of the Tesseract. So we know Loki is coming back in some shape or form, which we'll talk about later. We'll talk about more of the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as well.
Is he, though? Because the thing is, nothing they did in the past interferes with their current time, because they did it Star Trek in the 2009 style, where going back in time doesn't affect your timeline. It creates a separate timeline.
It technically does, but they were saying it doesn't. But whatever, Dave.
Well, no, they were saying it does create a separate timeline, because that's why they have to return the Infinity Stones, because the Ancient Ones, like, you have to return the Infinity Stones to our time, because otherwise our time will be fucked up.
Yeah.
Because they're a separate parallel universe.
Right, right. So we can't have you just stealing things, which is another moment which I got to bring into later, but...
Yeah, I've got issues with the way they do time travel in this movie.
Time travel has definitely some issues during this movie. So we get that. So Loki takes off with the Tesseract, but they do get the Mind Stone. We got a great scene with Captain America doing the whole Winter Soldier scene where he's going down the elevator with all the Hydra.
Hail Hydra, and they just give him the wand. It's great.
They're like, yeah, it's kind of cool. It's like, yeah, I could beat all their asses, but I could just say Hail Hydra and then steal the scepter from them.
And it's great because the that scene, I thought they were going to do that scene where he beats them all up again. And then I remember, like, a year or two ago when they had him doing Hail Hydra in the comic, I was like, haha, they brought that out. That was pretty good.
Yeah, it's cool. And then at the last minute, the Tesseract, Loki, like you said, steals it. They Tony Stark and Hank Pym, or I'm sorry, Scott Lang, Ant-Man, mess that up. And Loki disappears with the Tesseract. So we don't know what goes on there. Although we do see at the end of Avengers that Loki is still in apprehension. So what happened in between all that? So, which we don't know. So they decide they're going to go back in time to the 1970s. To get the Tesseract. So they go to a S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters that they know that everything exists, which is
groovy, man.
Groovy, right, exactly. So from there, we go back to Thor and Rocket, and they go to Asgard, and they are going to get to the...
they got to inject Natalie Portman and suck the redstone out of her. I mean, the reality stone out of her.
Yeah, they got to get the ether out of her.
Just get her to get a dildo that sucks.
Oh, man. they got to get the reality stones from there. So we get a really touching scene between Thor and his mom.
So good.
Thor's mom is going to die
at the end of this movie. Yeah, it's the day that she dies.
And he's a freaking mess. He's been drinking. He gained a ton of weight. And he's completely lost. And she just basically says, you know... look,
have a salad.
Everyone fucks up, don't worry about it, you know. You know you're still Thor. And then he takes
Mjolnir from this time period.
Yes, and that doesn't make any sense unless he goes back in time somehow and fixes this, which we don't see how he would do that.
He doesn't go back in time and fix it. This Thor in this reality doesn't have it's a separate reality, it's a separate timeline. He doesn't have Mjolnir.
I know it doesn't make it. Anyways,
I guess he just gets Stormbreaker sooner, or they just remake Mjolnir. I mean, all they have to do is go have Peter Dinklage make him another one.
Make me another one.
I mean, they're literally just mold. I mean, these dwarves who forge these great weapons, they just have a bunch of molds laying around. So, yeah, just mold this. It's fine.
So he gets and he gets all excited because I'm still worthy. So he feels like he's maybe validated again. So it is actually a very touching moment between him and his mom. And if you didn't tear up a little bit, I don't know what's wrong with you.
I mean, I didn't tear up, but I definitely thought this was one of the most emotional moments in the movie. And Thor's scenes were some of my favorite as far as like the emotional weight behind them.
Yeah, Thor's amazing.
They were really good. Captain America's and Iron Man's weren't as great to me, especially when they were relating together. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll get into that later. Next, we get into Iron Patriot, War Machine, Rhodes and Nebula, and they're going to go to the planet where they're going to get the Power Stone, which we get. Peter Quill, he's doing his little dance routine, and he's like, oh.
So he's an idiot then.
He's a fucking idiot. It's pretty damn funny, actually. We get a kick-ass scene where Nebula just grabs the thing right out of the, like, this energy thing and almost melts her hand, but she's got the, like, robot hand, so it doesn't mean anything. Yeah, so
she's fine. But then at this point, the other Nebula is quantum entangled with her, and she's being questioned. Because Nebula likes getting tied up and questioned by her daddy.
Yeah.
Who's
your daddy now? So
does he do?
So Thanos gets kind of cued in on what the Avengers are doing at this point. Although he has not started collecting the Infinity Stones yet, he realized that they're doing it. And he's like, I can get all the Infinity Stones. Because this was a plan in his head already, but he hadn't implemented anything yet.
So he's going to follow them. So Nebula decides to impersonate this Nebula,
right?
And, she goes back to the future with everyone.
Back to the future, Monty.
Back to the future, Monty. We're still doing that. It's time travel.
Yes. Next, we get Black Widow and Hawkeye go to Vormir to get the Soul Stone with the Red Skull there.
Red Skull again. Why can't we just throw Red Skull off the side?
I know, I was like, but I don't, nobody loves me, so nobody cares. So
Captain America loves you. He can throw you off the cliff.
So they have to make a choice, obviously, to get this Soul Stone. They have to make a sacrifice of something they love. And obviously, these two warriors have fought together for a very long time, and they do care for each other deeply. And they just have this fight of who's going to get thrown off the side of the cliff.
This is the thing that surprised me, and I hated it because...
Really?
I hated it so much because it would have been more weight for Hawkeye to sacrifice himself for his family because he saw them snapped away. She doesn't really have a family, and they just greenlit her solo movie finally.
I saw that too.
And so now it's going to be a prequel probably, unless they just pull her from the other universe into this universe, I guess. And they can do the same thing with Tony too. I mean, most of the deaths are irrelevant because they got time travel. They can just pull them from the other universe if they need to.
This is comic books, Dave. This is my whole life growing up. It's like somebody died for 12 issues and then they come back. So,
yeah, but it's just, they just screenlit her movie. So it just... Either they're gonna bring her back in a really easy way. I don't know. I just wish they wouldn't kill her.
Even Jean Grey of the X-Men, when she turned into Dark Phoenix, was so like slash suck. During the time in the 80s, we're like, no, they killed Jean Grey. Oh my God. And then they brought her back like a year later. You're like, what the fuck? So,
yeah, I know no one's probably going to stay dead, but I'm just like, I mean, Hawkeye, they could have left him stay dead. Cause I mean, I don't know, like they barely utilize him in the movies anyway. Just kill him. That would have been great. He sacrificed himself to bring back
kill
his family.
Hawkeye. He'll be great. Kill that guy.
But, I mean, there's been, I don't know, it just annoys me that they killed her because they've just greenlit her movie. So either it's going to be a prequel, which is going to make me want to see it less.
Yeah, it'll be pretty cool. But it might tie into the next. Yeah.
Or they can just set the next set of movies. They could set Phase 4 in the other universe.
Or they can set something to happen in her past to tee off what's going to happen for Phase 4. So who knows?
I
mean,
maybe, but I'd just rather them not do a prequel. I'm kind of tired of prequels.
It coming out of Discovery.
Yeah.
So Hawkeye gets the soul stone because Black Widow dies. Then we jump to,
so what if they went by themselves? So if they kill themselves, do they still get the stone? Like if someone just went by themselves.
Then Red Skull gets a stone and he's like, yes, yes, I kill everybody. So we go to the 1970s with Captain America and Iron Man, and they go to they're going to get the Tesseract, but they realize that if Steve Rogers goes and steals Steve Rogers steals the Pym particles because Hank Pym is working in the same facility. So they go down to this area in New Jersey where it has a SHIELD base, and this is where Tony Stark runs into his dad, and he finds out that Howard Stark, his father, is expecting Tony for the first time. And we get this great moment between these two, how they obviously Tony's been estranged to his father. He's got father issues, and there's a lot of issues going on there between the two. And now that he's a father, he has a different perspective of things. So,
and he gets it, and he posthumously forgives his dad. It's a pretty good scene.
Yeah, it's a touching scene too.
I didn't mean like Iron Man's moments like with his. I meant the moments between Iron Man and Steve Rogers together, not like their individual.
Oh yeah, I don't think they had like any big moments between the two Rogers and Stark, but between Stark
and his dad, that was pretty good.
It was a touching moment, and definitely a little tear comes to your eye there because he's like, what do you say? Something about money, like, but no money can make up as much for the time lost or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, don't, you know,
no amount of time you can buy any amount of time.
Don't squander your time, basically. I mean, you have so much time with your children and your family. Definitely take time to enjoy it and to be there with them. Be present. At the same time, Steve Rogers... Oh, during that time, Stark stole the Tesseract when he runs into his father. And then Steve Rogers tricks Hank Pym, and he steals some Pym particles. And during that time, he runs into... trying to hide from some guards, he runs into his old fling, which is what's her name, Peggy.
Yeah, he runs into her orifice and
sees orifice. Peggy Carter.
Peggy Carter's orifice, and he sees a picture of himself on her desk.
And then he sees her in the other room through a window. She can't see him, and he just is like, "Yeah, I'm not over this woman." So. Yeah, you realize that he's been hanging on to her for a long time, which is, it's alluded through this whole film, basically.
Yes, this film does foreshadowing extremely heavy-handed. Like, in the first half hour, like, there's, like, all these, like, cues that Tony Stark is gonna die. Like, oh, go send your, like, you know, when they're propositioning Tony, the daughter gets sent to go save him, and then whenever he gets the Avengers headquarters, he's like, "Yeah, I better not die," and like all this stuff like that. I was like, "Oh fuck, they're just gonna kill him."
Well,
they were really heavy handed with the foreshadowing on Tony Stark.
I don't know, but we've had like tons of movies with Tony Stark, so Tony Stark has been very, very present through the whole Marvel cinematic universe, and I don't know. I think he's such a huge presence.
Absolutely.
So, so they all come back, and unfortunately, Hawkeye says, you know, Black Widow didn't make it, and there's much sadness.
I let her die.
Well, you know, she got bested by Black Widow. But Tony Stark builds an Infinity Gauntlet himself. And they get set up, and basically Hulk, Bruce Banner, says, "Look, I'm the only guy who can take this. I'm strong enough.
Where's Captain Marvel?
I'll snap my fingers.
Where's Captain Marvel?
She's gone. She's on another planet.
Why can't she snap it?
She's got planets between her legs." And so
butt. Woo!
So Hulk snaps his fingers with the Infinity Gauntlet, and... we don't find out right away, but within seconds,
Hawkeye gets a phone call.
Phone call from his wife saying, "Where are you? You're late for dinner.
On your hot dog.
Why did you leave the toilet seat up, you asshole?
Why is your hot dog rotten?
You told me you were going to fill my tank with gas." So
it's like, maybe I should have left her dead.
Same old, Hank. I'm joking. Anyways, so it is a touching moment. And then...
Oh, there's lots of birds outside chirping, too.
Like birds outside.
We never heard any wildlife.
I guess birds are alive now, too. Holy shit. So at that very moment, Nebula, the Nebula from the past, who is more has allegiance to the Thanos of the past, decides that she travels with them, and she goes and she
also has some Pym particles somehow. She has some extra somehow because she comes back and she has enough for Thanos to come through.
Yes, well, Thanos is a smart guy, so maybe he figured it out. So Thanos comes into the Avengers base and
his then ship.
He brings his oh yeah, they shrunk down a ship, and then they. And then the ship blows up. So that's how it happens. It seems crazy, but that's how it happens.
Well, no, she injects, she triggers another time travel thing.
Yeah, no, that she does a time travel, but they shrunk down the whole ship with everything in it. So,
oh, okay. And then it expands and it destroys the thing. Then it shoots the whole thing and everyone lives. That made me angry.
Well, that doesn't make a lot of sense, especially the lesser heroes, like Ant-Man probably shouldn't have made it. And
Rhodey shouldn't have made it. Yeah, Rocket
shouldn't have made it.
None of them should have made it. I mean, like, the only person who should have lived through that was Thor and Hulk. Iron Man wasn't even wearing a suit. Oh, no, he was. He had his shield up, so Iron Man would have.
Yeah, maybe Iron Man would have made it, but maybe. That's about it. Yeah, so it's basically the ship comes in full force above the Avengers headquarters and just
then bump. They basically nuke it.
Yeah, they nuke the whole area. We get a whole scene where Hulk's trying to hold it up, and then Ant-Man grows giant and like lifts up the whatever the debris is, so they can escape. We have Hawkeye getting chased by basically Xenomorphs. And
it's those dog things that like were fighting in Wakanda at the end of Infinity War,
and
that were like killing themselves in the shield.
Yes, and Hawkeye has the Infinity Gauntlet. That got blown off of Hulk's arm. Also, we find that Hulk was like just completely
his arm was burnt up.
Yeah, all fucked up by using that snap. So it's using the Infinity Gauntlet is extremely taxing on your physiology, even for the most powerful creatures in the Marvel Universe. And then we get into a whole Nebula says she's going to go get the Infinity Gauntlet, but during that time, Thanos is hanging out outside waiting for Nebula to come up with it, and he's confronted with Captain America and Iron Man and Thor, and they're like, "We're gonna kick your fucking ass, you asshole!" And they get into
Thor again, forgets to go for the head.
Yeah, and we have a really cool scene. We get he's got Stormbreaker, his axe, and Thanos gets his hands on it. And he's gonna cleave into his chest, and at that same time, Captain America picks up Mjolnir
and throws it at Thanos.
He is worthy to lift it. Which is pretty fucking kick-ass.
He is worthy to be Thor.
And he's fighting with Mjolnir.
That was pretty fun.
It's a really cool like mix of characters like to see him fight with it. So we got this huge fight between the two. And then Thanos is like, fuck you guys. And I'm bring all my armies. I'm going to wipe this planet clean.
It was never personal before. Now it's personal.
Now it's personal because I'm kind of like pissed off at you guys. So he brings everything. He brings the freaking space whales. He brings the Chikari. He brings all those guys that they fought in the last movie. And they're going to take everything out. But what they don't realize, because Hulk snapped his finger and snapped half the population back, guess what we got back?
Doctor Strange.
Got back everybody.
And Strange, everyone back comes
Black
to
Black Panther.
Yeah.
Falcon, we get Winter Soldier, we get everybody. Everyone's back.
Everyone's back. They come through the gates of the Doctor Strange gates, and they bring a whole bunch of other magicians with them.
And we just get this huge, just fight, just battle, which is, it's pretty fun seeing everything that's happening. So it's cool stuff. Even Pepper Potts, she's got her own armor and she's fighting.
Iron Man armor, yeah.
Yeah, so it's cool. And then from there, we get this final showdown between Captain Marvel shows up at the very end, and she's
flies the ship,
and she's trying to Yeah, she blows up. She blows up Thanos' ship. Captain Marvel does that.
By flying through it, just like she did in the Captain Marvel movie. So that's right. She's a one-trick pony. She flies through ships and breaks them.
All right. Well, that's
with her hard head.
Yes, that's a one hard head, and so she destroys the enemy ships, and then she goes into fighting Thanos. Thanos is trying to snap his fingers with the Infinity Gauntlet when he gets his hands on it, and she tries to stop him at the last minute. Tony Stark jumps at it, and you think he's down for the count because Thanos swats him around like a fly,
punches him in the head without any head armor on.
And then he's like, I'm inevitable or something like that. And he tries to snap his fingers. And then he realizes he doesn't have the stone.
Tony Stark
swiped him. And he's like,
Swiper, no swiping. Goes, Iron Man. Swiper, no swiping.
It's really cool. So, and then he swipes. He does a little snap. And guess what happens? Thanos and all his monsters disappear from the universe.
Yay. And of course that fatal blow to Iron Man.
Unfortunately, that was too much for Iron Man to handle. Hulk was pretty bad, but he just couldn't handle it.
And why didn't he just throw his gauntlet to Captain Marvel? Captain Marvel could have done it. She could have lived through that. That's an easy fix. Probably could have.
Thor could have maybe done it too.
Thor could have lived through it. Thor's easily. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like. Their powers
are... Thor and Hulk are probably... Well, and Captain Marvel. Those three are probably the most powerful of the Marvel Universe.
Hell, Doctor Strange could have probably even done it.
He's still human.
He is, but he's got magic to mitigate it, though.
True. So we get kind of like at this last moment where he's dying, we get Peter Parker saying goodbye, Pepper Potts saying goodbye, and saying that you can finally rest.
You can rest. You can go to bed now.
You can go to sleep now.
It's I like, love you, 9,000.
I'm exhausted. Yes, and then we finally get a whole sequence of and we get Tony Stark's funeral. And
his daughter really wants some cheeseburgers.
Dad, I mean, there's oh my god, it made me cry. He's like, I want a cheeseburger. And he's like, your dad loves cheeseburgers. I'll get you all the cheeseburgers you want. So.
But then he just sits there, doesn't get her any cheeseburgers.
Get off your fat ass and grab it, man.
Hey, John Favreau, don't sit on. Give me my hamburgers you said you were going to get.
And, Lucky. We're moving, Lucky. And next is, and we see, like, everybody's there for his funeral. Like, all the Avengers, everybody that ever, like, interacted with Iron Man, pretty much, other than maybe General Thunderbolt Ross from the Hulk. And then, finally, we're going to go back and return all the Infinity Stones, and Steve Rogers, Captain America, is going to do that. And he's going to go back in all the time. And the Hulk's like, yeah, for him, it'll be longer, but for us, it'll be like 5 seconds. And he tries to get him back after sensing him back in time, but he doesn't come back, and they don't know what happens. And all of a sudden, Falcon looks over.
Hey, guys, who's
there's
that?
An old man. There's an old man sitting on the bench. Who's
sitting
that old man?
Sitting on a park bench.
Sitting on the dock in the bay, watching the tide. Anyways, it is Captain America old, and Captain America returned all the stones, and then he was like, you know what?
I'm going to go get with my broad.
I'm going to hang out. And even, you see, he's got his wedding band, and Sam Wilson says, oh, who'd you get married to? Who's telling me about the girl? And he's like, I think I'll keep that. To myself.
I think I'll keep that to myself. Anyone who knows me well enough should know who it was.
And then we get
Falcon gets made into the next Captain America instead of Bucky, which had me scratching my head.
Yeah, well, no, this is a comic book thing. They've done this before.
I thought Bucky became Captain America in the comics.
Bucky did temporarily. Yes, he did for a little bit, especially during the Brubaker run of Captain America.
It just makes more sense for him to be Captain America because he's got like super strong, but Falcon just has a Falcon suit. How could he be Captain America?
Because I don't know. We'll find out more. I mean, but
is there a super serum in the shield somewhere to turn him into Captain America?
Maybe, you don't know. I mean, it's the Marvel Universe. And then we get basically Thor decides he's not going to be king of Asgard or New Asgard anymore. And he's going to make Valkyrie the queen. And he's taken off, and he's going to take off
the galaxy,
the Asgardians of the galaxy.
Asgardians, yes.
And
I really hope he's in the Guardians of Galaxy 3. That would be fantastic.
It would be cool. And then at the very last scene, we get tap dancing with Peggy Carter, that he finally got that last dance. And I kind of teared up, like, oh, he finally got with this woman that he's been wanting for all these years. So
it makes no sense.
What? Like, all right. Dave, this is the end of the Marvel Universe Phase 3. This is the end of a lot of these characters. We're probably never going to see Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark anymore. Maybe a quick scene here or two. And we might see an old Chris Evans as Captain America, but we're probably not going to get anything more from that. So, Dave, this is the end of it. How did you feel about it? You said you felt underwhelmed.
I felt underwhelmed. Infinity War was so good. I wish this was the movie we were talking about instead of this one, because I know people get on me for being negative, and I loved Infinity War. It was probably one of the best Marvel films ever. It's like probably top 4 or 5 for me. It's really high up there. And this one's like in the bottom like 10.
What?
For me. Yeah, it's
Jesus.
It really falls short, I think. It just, I don't know, they just were retracing the steps of the last movie, and the scenes felt drawn out. It's probably because I get too much into the meta thing. Them killing Black Widow really annoyed me, since she's just getting her solo movie. And then when Tony Stark died in the movie theater, people were like, oh my God, they killed Tony Stark. And I'm like, how they foreshadowed this throughout the movie? How did you not know this was going to happen? It just made me roll my eyes. I figured if anyone was going to – I was hoping they were going to kill like Thor, the original three, because they were the ones from the very beginning. It started with Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America. I figured they were going to kind of get rid of them because this is the passing of the torch movie. And I was really annoyed. Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man was the one I wanted to go the least, because even if he's not a main character anymore, he could have still been like a mentor type character. He just does the business end of the Avengers. He builds new suits for whoever becomes the new Iron Man or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like that brilliance, you don't have that anymore if you get rid of Tony Stark. And he's just such a likable character. I figured he was going to die, and there was tons of foreshadowing in the movie that told you who's going to die. I think part of what hurt the movie for me was an audience reaction to it, because I just was annoyed at everyone for like being wowed by the obvious. I don't know. I think the thing that annoyed me, like when they were like gasping at Hawkeye's family missing, and then so surprised that Tony Stark died. I'm like, how did you not see this coming? Do you not know what foreshadowing is? I feel like the audience took me out of the movie, so that might have hurt my anticipation, because it was a packed movie theater. It was wall to wall.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. They're wall to wall. Yeah, there's no seats to be had.
So sometimes when you see a movie and you've got the audience reaction, it makes you like feel better about the movie when like everyone's like on the same page. But the fact that people were so dumb and not on the same page, it just took me out of it. So I think that kind of hurt my movie going experience, seeing this movie in a movie theater full of people who don't know the basics of film 101. Or storytelling 101, like foreshadowing at all. That took me out of it for sure. They grossly misused Captain Marvel. Benedict Cumberbatch saw like billions of ways it could have happened, and Tony had to be the one to make the snap. I mean, anyone else could have made the snap at the end. I mean, Captain Marvel should have just freaking put on the gauntlet when she had it, instead of them trying to throw it. I mean, I don't know. It just, there's so many things. And then they had this great moment for feminism for a second, where they had all the women assemble around Captain Marvel. Not that she needed any help. And that lasted for about 5 seconds, which was like, okay. And then...
We got that in Infinity Wars, too, at one point with the Black Widow and...
Yeah, but this was a bigger,
in the battle Wakanda, yeah.
Yeah, but this was a bigger group of women. This was like all of them, all of the major women. It was great seeing them all, except for Black Widow, because Black Widow's dead. So, but we had
she dead,
which made me sad that Black Widow was dead.
I think you're upset that Scarlett Johansson is a memory now.
Yeah, I think that's part of the issue, but. The meta of her movie coming out is annoying me that they killed her. But it was great. They had this moment for feminism, and then that scene was like 5 seconds. We didn't see any of them kick any ass really. It just kind of moved along real quick, and then she was on her own with Thanos. It just was skipped over, and then like then Tony Stark snaps it and he saves everyone instead of Captain Marvel doing it. I don't know. It just seemed kind of like meh. Like, I think one of my favorite moments during the battle was seeing Scarlet Witch shine, because we
she was great to see.
We usually don't get to see her use her powers. We don't get to see her do much. Although I feel like they forgot that she's got mind control powers.
Yeah,
she could have just mind controlled Thanos, but no, she did.
I don't think she's powerful enough to control Thanos. Thanos is a little too.
What are you talking about?
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
Mantis was able to do it a little bit, and Scarlet Witch is going to be way more powerful than Mantis.
Maybe.
But the thing is, like, all the superheroes' powers are on a sliding scale, because in Infinity War, Captain America takes a punch from Thanos while he's wearing an Infinity Gauntlet with most of the stones on it. He's only missing like one at that point, two at that point, and he takes a punch. But all three of them are fighting him, and they can't even get him a little bit hurt when he doesn't have the gauntlet. So the sliding scale of the power of the heroes is, like, kind of annoying.
I noticed that, too, but I think there's a couple things at play. I think, one, when we see Thanos, when they decapitate him at that one point, he's all fucked up.
I'm talking about from the last movie.
No, I know, because so that's where we see him take on that. And then this movie, I mean, later on, when they have the final big showdown, this is Thanos from a couple years ago, and he is fighting fit. He's ready to go. Same thing with, we see that a couple characters, and they're stretched thin. They've been fighting for so long. They've been doing so much. They're just exhausted. So,
and Thor, you know, he's got both his weapons, and he's still like, he almost took down Thanos with the gauntlet, just him and Stormbreaker. He had both weapons and two other people helping him, and he didn't get close. So the sliding scale of the hero's powers is all over the place between the two films, which kind of annoyed me too. And the time travel is the worst culprit of the film, because I think they were trying to make it neat and trying to make the parallel universe thing like Star Trek with the splitting of the timeline. But they did it. It just seemed messy to me, because like did every time they went back in time, did they make a different branch? Were they taking them from multiple different branches? Or did all these stones come from the same branch? You know what I mean?
I'm assuming the same branch, but
they were not clear. And then so they send Captain America back in time, and he's in another timeline. So how does he get back to this timeline old? He should be old in a different timeline, not in this one.
Yeah,
I'm just like, what's like? He's not. And so there's two Steve Rogers in that timeline, or there should have been. But somehow he's in this timeline.
There were, but one Steve Rogers was laying low during that whole time. So
I don't know. It's just,
or maybe he wasn't. I don't know.
No, but like if he stayed back in time, he should be in a different timeline. He should be in a parallel universe. So he shouldn't have ever come back at the end of this movie in this timeline, because they said the timelines are separate timelines, but he came back, which made no sense.
Well, maybe he came back for that special occasion to let him know what happened.
I don't think so, because
Captain America. He's not a guy to let you leave you hanging.
Also, how did Captain America get in space?
What do you mean?
Did he? So Captain America. They had to return the Infinity Stones to the time and place where they were taken, as if they were never taken. So like. Does this bring Scarlet Witch back? Does he just like, oh, we'll trade the stone back for Scarlet Witch's life? Does she come back somehow? Not Scarlet Witch, Black Widow.
Maybe that's how Black Widow comes back. Maybe he comes back and drops the Soul Stone back and says, I want Black Widow back. Because even when Hulk said, when he snapped everyone back into existence, I tried to get Natasha back, but I just couldn't get her back.
And
so.
How does he get the other ones that were in space back?
I assume he's Captain America. You think he's just a regular guy with a shield, but he's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's never been into space before this movie. How does he get into space later?
He did it this time. He could do it again.
Yeah, because he had the Guardians of the Galaxy spaceship this time. That's the only reason. I don't know. He just.
Maybe they told him where they docked it. I don't know.
Like, there's a lot of like weird holes with Captain America returning all the stones by himself.
Well, that is definitely they glossed over a lot right there. That's almost a whole movie in itself.
Yeah, it is. I don't know. I just kind of left the movie theater. I was like, huh, that's what they're gonna do with it. I don't know. Captain Marvel was grossly underused. They made it seem like she was gonna be like a huge deal in this movie, and she's in the movie for all of like 7.5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah, she's not in a lot. But she's
barely in the movie,
but she definitely kicks ass when she's there.
Yeah, she does, and it's cool. But like, they're supposed to be. I thought there was like a passing of the torch movie, and Kevin Feige keeps saying that she's like taking Iron Man's place as like the leader of the Avengers, and like. She is like she doesn't even know them because she's only kind of shows up for 7 minutes of the film. It's just I don't know. It just I guess I was expecting more with them integrating her into the picture.
Yeah,
I don't know. It seemed like they way underused her, and that kind of annoyed me. I don't know. I had this great high. My only complaint about Infinity War really was the fact that you knew all the ones they killed were coming back. And I mean it's a comic book thing, so I mean you know, so I mean that's not even really a valid complaint. But this one was just kind of all over the place with the time travel being wonky and the linear time. I mean the point you make about Loki taking the stone, I mean is it possible to bring him back? But it's a separate timeline. Anyone they lost, they can just bring back because it's a different timeline. So sure. that's a quick easy way to get anyone back they want. They can just go and abduct them, or they can just put all of Phase 4 into this other timeline.
Right.
I mean, theoretically, if they won, because I mean, I'm a little bit sad that this timeline's going to continue with Doctor Strange and no Eye of Agamotto. I love Doctor Strange and the Eye of Agamotto because Doctor Strange, the Doctor Strange time loop was the only successful use of time travel that in recent memory that wasn't stupid. It made perfect sense, and they didn't fuck anything up with the time because it was a simple little time loop. He just did it to annoy the bad guy and making a deal with him. It was great. Mm-hmm. And there was like no real plot holes with that time travel thing. It was great. I just wish, after Star Trek Discovery and this movie, I wish writers would just never do time travel again unless they're going to like sit there and think about it and do it as right as possible.
Yeah, well, time travel is difficult for sure.
It is, but I feel like a lot of people just don't even try. Like Looper, they made fun of time travel in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of annoyed me. It's like you're going to do a movie about time travel and you're going to mock it in fiction universe. That kind of took me out of it. So I don't know. I just want time travel to stop until they decide to do it right or try to do it right. How about you, Aaron? What were your thoughts on this movie?
So this movie I thought was a great ending to this these characters. Obviously, we're saying goodbye to Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark. I mean, yes, maybe he might show up here and there, but probably won't go see him again after this. Same thing with Chris Evans. We'll see him in, maybe as an old man, but we probably won't see him in full form.
They need to give him a blood transfusion to Falcon so that Falcon can be super strong.
That's right. And maybe that's something that might happen. Who knows? But I just see I'm different from you. I see a lot of the emotions of it. So we're saying goodbye to a lot of things and we're changing things over. So I don't know how I feel about what's coming up forward. I don't know if I'm going to be quite as in love with the Marvel Cinematic Universe. These characters, honestly, you know, from Marvel comics, reading them my whole life, these are some of the big hitters. Other than Fantastic Four and X-Men and a few other different titles that I used to read. So, like, these are great to see in full action, and we're kind of leaving some of them. Not all of them, but some of them. So I felt this is extremely emotional for me to see this. This is like the last hurrah. And, yes, there were issues with the time travel. There are a lot of like weird things, like where's Mjolnir for Thor for after that, you know, stuff like that. So, I mean, it's kind of fucking weird that happened and they just let that go. Other than that, I mean, I thought I know you were kind of complaining that people like bitching about or not bitching, but upset that, you know, Hawkeye's family disappeared. I mean, to me, I understood what was happening. It's just, it's still, you think of your family disappearing and it's horrifying. It's literally horrifying. And you're like, I get it. It's like when you have a child, when you have a wife and you're just like, you spent so many years together and it's scary as fuck.
Oh, I mean, I agree. I mean, the conceptually it is scary as fuck. I just thought people, I wasn't complaining that people like were hurt by it. They didn't seem hurt. They just seemed surprised. And I'm like, but it's not a surprise. I don't know.
It was a surprise to me. I knew exactly what was happening, but it was more of just like, holy shit, you know, it's like, it's terrible.
Oh yeah. It's good. I mean, it was nice on an emotional level, I think.
The same thing with a lot of things, like, you know, Scott Lang seeing his daughter again, and even the very end where, you know, Steve Rogers gets that last dance, get that second dance with Peggy Carter. It's just beautiful moments. And it's like, you know, Captain America, think about it. You know, he fought in World War II. He's a fucking soldier, and he's given everything for not just his country, but the fucking world. He's a soldier that's, fought who knows untold things that I'm sure there's stories in between all this that we're not even talking about that the Marvel Universe cinematic isn't telling. And he's like, I'm done. I just want to be with the woman I love. I want to buy a small house and I want to, you know, start a family. That's what I want. And it's like, yeah, damn straight. That's all you want. You know, let that soldier go home. A lot of that meant something to me. I don't know. This movie had a lot of emotional impact to me. I think more than ever. Maybe I'm getting old and I'm just getting kind of like misty eye towards things that, you know, maybe didn't mean anything to me in the past. But it was great to see. It was great. I think they wound it down perfectly. I am interested to see what phase four will look like and what's going to happen, but this is some cool stuff. I mean, to see this end, this is a great way to end 10 years of a legacy, you know, of movies and storytelling. I thought it was beautiful. Honestly, I really did. There's a lot of things that, yes, there are problems. Yes, there are problems. But for the most part, I think it's all there. That's where I'm at.
I don't have the context of like the comic books because I never read them. I only have the context of the movies, and so like I can only judge it based on the in-universe things that I've been shown in the movies, and that's where like I guess some of my gripes come from. I mean, it was well done. It wasn't a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination, and I don't mean to make it out that way. I just have problems with some of the plot details, and for me, Infinity War was one of the best. And this one just fell short to me as far as like composition and all being there. And I mean, things did drag for me a little bit in the film because I knew it was 3 hours going into it. So I was kind of watching it under the guise of like, why is this movie 3 hours? Like, and then I was like, huh, they're taking a lot of time with this and a lot of time with this.
Oh yeah. Like I said, that this time with, Scott Lang walking through the, you know,
I mean, that part didn't bother me. I mean, I thought it was.
I know, but a lot of people are like, "That's a waste of time." They should have, you know. That's how people felt about it.
Yeah, I mean, the humor was pretty good. I don't think it was as funny as the last movie. I think the humor in this one was a little bit more sparse, but there were still pretty good moments that definitely made me laugh out loud. So, I mean, the movie hit a lot of good marks. It had a lot of good action. It made me laugh. It was fun. I just can't turn my brain off enough for some of the things not to bother me. And like I said, the audience reaction to some things annoyed me too, because they seemed really surprised. And I love Red Letter Media is like the popcorn eating idiot masses. Movies have to be made for as wide an audience as possible.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, this is not for super, super hardcore, you know, like Marvel comic book reading fans. I mean, it is for them, but it's more for everybody. So I don't know. I mean, my feeling is that this is good for everybody. If you're watching, even if you're not a comic book reader, this is still good. I mean, you can still get into it and still enjoy it. You know, if you've seen some of the movies, if not all the movies, still good.
Yeah. And, It was interesting. It was good. I mean, it was a pretty good movie. It just isn't in my top four or five like the last movie was. The last movie was so good. Infinity War was so much fun and so well done.
See, I see them almost as the same movie. I mean, they're not quite the same, obviously, but and obviously they're two different movies. But I see them as like two different movies, like chapter one, chapter two of the same movie, and and how they end this up and how they end wrap up these characters.
I mean, it pretty much is, even though they decided not to call it Infinity War Part 1 and Infinity War Part 2. It clearly is. Sure. It clearly is. But I don't know. I just liked the first part better. It was really well constructed and really, really smart. I just am annoyed that there's only one way they win. And then it's just, I mean, I could think of lots of other ways they could have won. Just Captain Marvel be there for longer. Get Captain Marvel getting there earlier. Any of the number of things. I mean, like, it's just like she had no weight to the film at all. Honestly.
Yeah.
She's
sort of like the Superman of the Marvel Universe.
Exactly. And the thing is, like, at the beginning, she's like, oh, it's going to be different because I'm here. And then she's not there for 90% of the movie. And I'm just like, well, if you were, you could have made a difference at any of these other points in time.
Right.
It just, I don't know, like, it just seemed poorly constructed and like, oh, there's only one way we win ever. And I'm just like, no, there's a million ways we could have won. Just page Captain Marvel earlier.
Well, Captain Marvel obviously wasn't there. And, you know, maybe he saw that different ways of, you know, and she didn't have maybe the power or the knowledge to do that. So I don't know. Should we go into potentials of Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 4?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it real quick. Go first.
So Spider-Man Far From Home is the next movie coming out. This is Spider-Man, and he is going to be like on a
field trip
in Europe, I suppose. I guess it looks what it looks like. And they are going to run into the enemy of Jake Gyllenhaal as Mysterio.
Mysterio's on his side, though. I think they're fighting somebody else together.
It might be. I don't know exactly, but Mysterio's a great villain. Oh, I can't wait to see what they do with Mysterio. So that's cool. We're gonna see a little of that coming up. Also, we know that as you've alluded to before, Dave, that Black Widow is getting, it seems like a prequel movie, maybe something else, maybe Cap came back with the Soul Stone, say, I want Black Widow back, and brings her back.
That'd Who be knows? Cool. I mean, we don't know one way or the other. I mean, that'd be a cool way to bring her back if he returns it to Red Skull, but I don't know if it works that way.
Yes, and next we get Hawkeye. Hawkeye is going to get sort of a Disney, because Disney is starting its own platform, and Marvel's going to get probably a prominent part with Star Wars there with Disney, and they are going to do a Hawkeye series, it looks like.
Oh, I didn't hear about the Hawkeye series, but I did hear about the Vision and Red...
Yes.
Scarlet Witch.
Scarlet Witch, yes.
So is that a prequel, or are they rebuilding Vision
without
the Soul Stone?
I don't know. I'm not entirely certain how they're going to set that up.
And there's a Loki show, too? A Loki and someone else show? Is that also a prequel?
There's a Loki show coming up as well, and I'm assuming that has to do with him stealing the Tesseract and doing shenanigans as usual.
That could be fun.
And it's going to be the Falcon, aka New Captain America, with Winter Soldier. We're going to see that. We're going to see some characters. I don't know how that's going to play out, but we're going to see those two fighting together. Black Panther 2, we'll get another Black Panther movie coming out soon. And then Shang-Chi is a master of Kung Fu. And so we're going to get a character for that. And then we're going to get Doctor Strange 2 as well.
That's the one I'm most looking forward to out of all of them.
Well, and then lastly, Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
Oh, yeah. That one, I'm looking forward to that one as well. Oh, especially if Thor is going to be in it.
Also, I shouldn't say lastly, and then also going to get, which is really strange to me, I don't know how they're going to work this in, but there's going to be Eternals. The Eternals is a, they're not mainstream for Marvel Universe whatsoever. They are sort of a, they're created by Jack Kirby, the artist, and the Celestials, these giant creatures from, I think you probably know them from the first Guardian of the Galaxy movie. Oh no, second Guardian of the Galaxy movie. Ego was one of the Celestials. And they give these guys powers, and they're just like a group of characters that are going to be it looks interesting. And then, as we know, Disney has acquired Sony. So we're just getting Spider-Man, but we're also going to get X-Men and Fantastic Four. I don't know where that's going to lay. I don't know if that's Phase 4 or something different.
Kevin Feige has said X-Men being incorporated is going to be way far way far on. So
yeah.
So I mean, like, I'm assuming that's phase five or six, or like the reboot of the series, because right. I feel like they kind of would need to do a reboot to tie everything in, like recast everyone. Yeah,
you're gonna have to recast it, and honestly, the Fantastic Four definitely need to be redone. You know, the X-Men, Logan, and there's a couple other ones, you know, X-Men movies that are worth watching. They're not great, but Logan's probably the best. There's a couple of the good ones that are in there, but, you know, who knows? Yeah, I mean, obviously,
redo it all.
The Deadpool movies are great, so they'll hang on to those as long as possible.
Probably, yeah.
But, yeah, so we've got a lot coming up down the pipeline for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So there's a lot happening. There's a lot of characters, even without Iron Man, without Captain America, without, you know, maybe all the big names that we knew before. We're going to get a change up with the Avengers. Also, I'd like to mention that, you know, in the Captain Marvel movie, we get the daughter of one of the young girl who Captain Marvel knew. She's going to be coming up. Version of Captain America, Captain Marvel as well, through the comics. So,
oh, Miss Marvel?
No, not Miss Marvel. She's going to become Captain Marvel. So she was one of the Captain Marvels in the 80s, and she was one of the Avengers as well. So, she's pretty cool. So anyways, all interesting shit. There's so much going on. Obviously, this could go on for another 10 years, if not longer. We are going to get a ton of new movies coming on. Avengers Endgame is only like a footnote of characters who are probably going to end out, you know, leave the franchise because they've gotten too old or they just want to do different things, which is understandable as well.
Well, I saw an article. Chris Hemsworth said he'll play Thor as long as Marvel wants him to.
Yeah, and you know, the first Thor and second movie aren't great. They're okay.
Thor 3 was good.
And I think they found their rhythm with Thor. It's got to be a little funny, but, you know, obviously, you know, you still have the character just being just amazingly awesome in power. So,
Wait, since Thanos is gone, I haven't read the comics. Who would be the next big bad?
There's tons of big bads. So if they do Fantastic Four, we could get Doctor Doom, which is pretty amazing. We could also get Galactus coming back, which is amazing. We could get Annihilus, which is from the Negative Zone. He's amazing. We do all the time travel. We get Kang the Conqueror doing time travel, which would be fucking phenomenal. There is just tons of villains that you could
play on. So, like a couple you mentioned are from Fantastic Four. So, assuming let's say no one from X-Men or Fantastic Four, because of the newly acquired, probably aren't going to be able to be folded in immediately. Who do you think is most likely not in those franchises that were just acquired? Because Galactus is probably out because he was owned by Fox or whatever. Anything tied to X-Men is going to be out probably because Kevin Feige said X-Men stuff won't be able to be folded in for a while. So since you've who would be your next best bet after Thanos?
That's a tough one. It could be Annihilus. Annihilus would be a great one from the Negative Zone. You don't necessarily need the Fantastic Four for Annihilus. He's just an all-around universal baddie who wants to take over the universe with his minions of creatures. Who else could we do? Kang the Conqueror, like I said, is a typical Avengers villain who does time travel as well.
No more time travel, please.
Well, maybe, you know, maybe through all the time travel, maybe they stumble across Kang. Who else could there be? There's also Secret Wars. We could get into the Beyonder. I mean, is even more powerful than Thanos. He's basically a living god, and he can do anything he wants.
More powerful. The Russo brothers said they would come back for that storyline. I read an article saying they said they're done with Marvel unless Marvel wants them to do that, and that's one they said they would definitely want to do.
That's a possibility, but that's basically getting everyone back together. Spider-Man's.
Yeah, Spider-Man. So I did read in the comics. I follow IO9, and IO9 does comic book things every now and then. There was like a second Civil War.
Yeah. Or I didn't read that one, but go ahead.
Couldn't that be a thing that they could get into, maybe another Civil War? I guess
I don't know that one as well. I don't know that one as well. My thought is actually the Skrulls from Captain Marvel. They did the Secret Invasion where they take the form of different heroes and they kind of infiltrate all the heroes. So you think that they're all your good buddies that you're going to always rely upon. And then you find out that they're Skrulls and they're shapeshifters. So the Skrulls are a great villain. You can do a lot with them. So there was a whole sequence called the Secret Invasion that they could tie into. That would be fun for a movie or two, not like a big epic like this, but there's a lot. There was a Skrull Kree War during the early Avengers, like maybe in the 1970s that happened. Mm-hmm. That was a lot of fun. Like that, the Avengers were kind of caught in between all that. So there's a lot to happen. There's a lot that could happen, and like I said, there's so many cool characters and villains that they could introduce that since the acquisition, because years ago Marvel Comics was like not doing well, and they sold all the rights to different film production companies, and some people went to Universal. Like that's why we don't see any more Hulk movies, is because Universal holds the rights to Hulks, and now Sony owns, which has been bought by Disney. So we have Fantastic Four and X-Men back again. So that's cool. But there's still other things that they don't have their hands on, which would be cool to get back again. So it'll happen.
Yeah. So when they reboot everything in the next 20 years, then we can get X-Men and Fantastic Four and all the Marvel people all in the same spot. They could build it from the ground up again and make it even better and crazier. Man, that would be insane.
Yeah, I know. And with all new actors, I don't know if this will ever happen again, though, Dave. I honestly feel like these two movies keep printing money. I know, but I honestly think these two movies might be the most iconic movies of our time right now. I could be wrong. But I think Infinity War and Endgame are two of the most iconic movies we've probably ever witnessed in our lifetime. I don't know if we'll see anything quite like it. Maybe we will. But
in that respect, you're absolutely right. I think with it being
culminating to this one thing. Yeah. I don't know if we'll ever see anything like this. Honestly, this is even with Star Wars. There's some cool stuff that happens, obviously, with Star Wars, but This is unprecedented. Like we've never seen anything quite like it. So
we've never seen movie storytelling on a scale this big. And the thing is, I mean, with the success they've done, I can't imagine other people wouldn't try to jump on the bandwagon. Of course, DC has tried and failed miserably.
Well, they got some bad direction on their side. Yeah.
Well, they just tried to jump the gun. They tried to jump immediately to Justice League without any without earning
introduction.
It. They didn't earn the jump to Justice League. They just tried to make it happen, which was awful. So, I mean, Marvel and Disney, they've laid the roadmap to epic storytelling. So, I mean, if it doesn't happen again, it would surprise me because they've laid a roadmap on how to print oogles of money.
Yeah. Right.
And if you look at DC, they've laid the roadmap how to fail and fuck up. So really, it's like there's a tried and true roadmap. Like, make a movie that's really good. Don't say it's a cinematic universe until like one or two movies in, because they keep trying to do cinematic. They tried to do the with the Dark Universe that failed because from the very first movie they tried to say this is mythology and like the Tom Cruise is the Mummy. They just ruined it by trying to force it too early. Instead of making a really good movie, they're like, oh, let's start off with a shared universe or whatever. So That's and we see people doing it wrong.
Right.
So I mean, like with all these examples of it being done wrong and failing and it being done right and succeeding to the amazing success that they've done, I mean, people just have to follow the roadmap and do it right.
So what you need is patience and a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You gotta play the long game.
Yeah, you do.
You gotta play the long game to get your end game.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. Nicely done. Nicely done. Well, with that, Dave, should we wrap it up?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I hope other people can do this, because I would love to see storytelling on this epic scale. Hell, maybe CBS and Star Trek could pull it together and do something epic that way, like tie in all their new series in some kind of crazy time travel crossover thing. I mean,
don't bet on it, Dave.
No, probably not. But I'm just saying it's possible. The roadmap is there. They just need to follow it.
Sure, absolutely.
Who knows what will be happening next week? We've got some ideas, but they may be up in the air. We'll see. So next week may or may not be a surprise. So let's not even speculate what we're doing next week, because we don't even know 100% sure. But more stuff is coming for sure. We'll probably be doing some more non-Star Trek stuff in the interim, just to the palate cleanser from Discovery. Let's get excited. I know people think we've been kind of down on Star Trek, so let's get some excitement back in here. Let's branch out, and let's also deep dive deep into things that we love. And hopefully you guys will stick around for us, and hopefully you guys like us for us, and not just that we talk about Star Trek. I know Star Trek's a big draw, but hopefully us doing some non-Star Trek stuff here and there in the interim between seasons won't be so bad. What do you think, Aaron?
I think we should do some different things once in a while and stretch out our wings and see where it takes us.
Absolutely. I want to try new things and talk about things that I'm passionate about. Because, I mean, I'm passionate about Star Trek, and I know you are too, but I love other things. I'd love to get a chance to talk about them and express that in a fun way with each other on the podcast. And with Holly, too.
Absolutely. Yeah, sure.
All right. Absolutely. I can't wait. So many possibilities. We're not constrained by one topic. So I hope everyone will want to stick around for that as well. All our music is provided by Warp 11, except our intro. That's by Dave Wilkes. You can find Warp 11 online at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. The show, you can find online at syntholics.com. You can email us at syntholics@yahoo.com. You can tweet at us at syntholicduo. Personally, I'm at David_J_Duncan. Aaron's at Blackbird2004. Holly's at Lunar Thistle. You can join our Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics. So you can join in our conversation there and get into conversations about the podcast and any other nerd geek topics you want to talk about.
Absolutely. And please go to Apple iTunes, rate and review us there. Say you love us. And if you can't do that, or if you can do that and you want to do something else, go to our Patreon/Synthaholics. That would be wonderful if you could throw a little money our way. It's a great way to support the show. And lastly, as we always say, if you can't do any of those two, the best thing you do, which is for free, you could go and share Synthaholics on your Twitter feed, on your Facebook feed, on Reddit, wherever else you go. Just let people know. Tell your coworker, tell your mother, tell your brother.
Yeah, start a whole Synthaholics subreddit. If a subreddit gets big enough, we could like just do a whole show on reading what people are talking about on our subreddit. That could be fun.
That would be wonderful. So yeah, definitely do that if you can. We would love that. We would love a subreddit on Synthaholics. They don't allow us to do that because we are a part of the show and then we look like assholes. So anyways.
It's got to be fan-driven stuff. So we can comment once it's there, but you guys got to be the ones to start it.
Unfortunately, that's how it goes. Sorry, guys. So definitely do that. Sharing the show, talking about the show, letting people know about the show is a great way to support us, and we definitely appreciate that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for joining me for Infinity War. Thanks for suggesting this. It was kind of fun getting into. Woo!
It was fun. It was fun talking about all these heroes I grew up with. I know you grew up with a few of them, but I read about these for many, 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 many years, and I love them.
That's awesome. I'm glad it was like this big culmination for you, and it was awesome to see. I mean, it's been a fun ride for me too. I just really love Tony Stark, and I just don't understand how they're going to continue on without him, because there's no like real leader for Avengers anymore.
Well, apparently it's going to be Captain Marvel. We'll see how she turns out. Maybe she works and maybe she doesn't, but that's how it goes, buddy.
Everyone seems to hate Brie Larson, though.
She does seem like a bit of an asshole, but maybe she redeems herself. We don't know.
Maybe. I don't know. I've seen some funny YouTube videos of like the people in interviews, and everyone seems to be annoyed by her. It's kind of funny. All right.
Yeah, you know, somebody will come to the top, and everyone will love that person.
Hopefully. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see how the torch is passed and what... I want to see where it goes from here. Although, honestly, I'm most excited about Guardians 3 and Doctor Strange 2. Those are my ones I'm most looking forward to. How about you?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, and I'm definitely looking forward to see what the Disney universe does with X-Men.
Oh, yeah, that could be a lot of fun. Woo-hoo. Well, again, thank you all so much for listening. Thanks, Aaron, again, and live long and prosper, and don't get snapped.
That's right. Keep away from those snappy fingers.
Don't snap. Oh, snap. Have a good night, guys. Good day. Before the night's over, I'll puke in the sink, and we'll cry till we laugh, and we'll both shit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's weird not having a Star Trek themed ending.
Yeah, I know. Live long and prosper.
Motherfuckers. Nook-nack, motherfuckers.
Nook-nack, yeah.
Yeah. We love you, Jen. The best greeting ever. What do you want, motherfucker?
What do you want? Cool, buddy.
Yeah. God, I wish this movie was Infinity War, because I was really wanting to be positive tonight. I don't know if I can be.
What? Apparently, me and you are on different pages.
I mean, I didn't hate the movie, but I was underwhelmed.
Jeez. Man, I don't know what you want out of movies. I mean, other than being a little bit shorter.
I mean, the length was the issue.
The length is kind of the time, fucking ridiculous. The time, if they're going to make it that long, put a fucking intermission in there. Jesus Christ.
I mean, Lord of the Rings didn't have an intermission.
Yeah, just throw an intermission. It's just dumb. Throw an intermission in.
I don't know. The time travel was messy.
Time travel was a bit weird, but I guess we just let that go, as Philip said last week.
Nope, I can't let it go. Fuck it. Can't let it go.
Just